if you survive. I think, yes, I think if you get up there and he's resistant, if he's a complete kid, and just take these things over and be prepared to take them over as I know he can, I think he comes out as a very strong, as a very profound person. And if you don't, then you have the minds of people today. First place, you have the minds of people interlocking between the Socratic prayer of Watergate and John. They're not connected.
Not at all.
But the average American thinks they're all part of the same circle. So you need to separate that out first.
And secondly, say this is a great operation of law, no violation of any laws. And the only reason we did it was a protective device. And if you don't do that right now, you'd have a problem of divorcing yourself as well as all from this whole Watergate. No question in my mind about that. The presidency itself is at stake here.
Well, what about the suggestion that Haldeman has to go then?
No, I don't think he has to go.
And you see, that's where some would come out. They'd say, oh, well, you know, why they say that you should do the same, the president, Nixon should do the same with Haldeman as Eisenhower did with Adams.
Assume he's guilty. That's assume he's guilty. But this is also the point.
But the point is that they'd say, well, go and then he clears himself.
No,
I'm just getting the argument to others.
Well, I'm answering you. If I simply say that if he's innocent, then I believe him to be, if you believe him to be, then you do him a great disservice to the injustice in there. After all, it's certain.
You've got to have some people.
Yes, have some.
I don't know that Adams go with it. Well, not for what he did.
You have to have some people.
But they're
not the man's guilty. That's something else.
You have to look down the road.
Then your responsibility to the office you hold is probably greater than your loyalty to the man.
That's correct.
But where a man is innocent, then your loyalty to your office doesn't mean that you have to unduly sacrifice him.
If it is, then the office is
dead. The office is no damn good.
That's right. And you've got to be able to stand by an innocent man.
That's right.
You know, everybody feels that you're
innocent. That's correct. And I think Bob is smart enough, and he was well informed enough to go up there and defend himself and protect himself. And frankly, I think he can make the company look bad. I think he can make them look like they're at a rest. I think then he'd come back down and do his job and say, I'm not guilty. He's got to improve the position he's in today.
Yeah, because they've got him in a terrible position.
Because they've got him in a terrible position today.
So he can't lose.
He can lose. No way he can lose. Now, just in what period of time he does it, who he follows, and so forth, I guess I followed it that closely. But if McCord does it, yes, soon. If McCord gets up there and testifies first, then I'd have Haldeman demand that you come up. And just say that he's asking.
Well, now, he could demand it sooner. Well, you could even do it before McCord comes up.
Right. Said,
he could say even before the committee does it, he could put on his statement. And before the committee meets, so that when the committee meets, you know, then they go on.
Well, I would let him, you see, again, Lynn's judgment might be better than mine. I'm not sure I follow all your nuances about it, but I would like to let him get McCord way out of the way. Obviously, it must have been said that McCord was nothing but hearsay.
Everything's hearsay.
That's right. Well, let him get out of the way. If Bob puts out his statement before him, McCord shuts up. He's very careful about what he says about Haldeman. He doesn't want to contradict what Haldeman's statement says, and the committee, furthermore, doesn't want to push him to involve Haldeman because they would tend to respect Haldeman's statement more than they would McCord's hearsay. So they let up on McCord vis-a-vis Haldeman. What I'd like to see them do is let McCord get up and say, yes, he said this, and I understood this, and I gathered that, and then let your Republican members, if you've got anything to favor, they'll say, they understand it
pretty good.
But say, you don't know that. He didn't say that to you, and pin it down for it's clearly hearsay. And then let Haldeman come over and ask of you, and I posture in such a way that he has asked you to waive the executive privilege with respect to him so that he can go testify because his name has been brought into the hearing by McCord. And he ought to meet McCord with it and say, I will come testify. I will do it right now or tomorrow as soon as you get through with McCord. And I have asked the president to waive executive privilege with respect to me because if I've been lying, this man's lying about me, it's hearsay, and I'm going to state. I'm going to file a statement today, and I will come testify. out a statement in a day or 2 days, or whatever the committee will hear, that he will and testify. Now, I think this is more effective because if you can lead McCord into extravagant statements, and then a foreman can just cut him off, just really show that he's either lying or it's complete hearsay, then you tend to discredit the whole committee by indirection in the minds of most people. And you tend to discredit McCord.
Of course, they'll have other witnesses to follow, John.
Oh, I know that.
They'll have other witnesses. Although he basically probably is the star witness.
All right, but who are they going to have?
Lee.
Secretaries.
Okay, who
are they? Well, they hear again. They know what the hell they know.
So if he types something up and sign it to the White House, they might say that. I doubt if they can prove it.
Here again, this is why Lynn needs to be checked.
Oh, absolutely.
Every day.
We want to know every damn thing.
Because the FBI has interviewed all these secretaries.
I think so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's see what they say. Let's see which ones let's say they don't. And I'm assuming that this is all going to be done before Paul really testifies to anything.
Sure.
So if you get one man to early working together.
Garrett full time, Earlman, 30 on
that. I would suggest one other thing. That once that has been done, that you then think about another outside lawyer that you can bring in, a man of unquestioned ability in whom you have confidence. If he had been living, it would have been a Tom Dewey.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know who it would be today. It would be North Seymour, maybe. I don't know what I'd be. I don't even know whether you know. Maybe it's a Herb Brunel. But I don't think Herb's that good a trial lawyer.
Bring him in to, for what purpose?
For the purpose of visiting with Lynn Garman and John Erickman and getting all of the information in the event you need an outside lawyer to be a spokesman.
Oh, I see, a spokesman.
Or a defender. Just in case.
Yeah. Now, you would do that when?
I'd do it as soon as Lynn could get the facts.
Right. But who, by a spokesman, in other words, you would rather that person be a spokesman than Lynn be a spokesman?
Yes, because Lynn's an in-house man. Right back to you.
Because we want to get it away from
you. You want to get it away from this White House, so if any of these fellows do wind up in trouble.
That's right.
Then they've got a lawyer out here who understands it, can take it on and say, this is a sham. You can use him as a spokesman. Because once all of them goes, for instance, and testifies, then he ought to say nothing more. That'll be the end of it.
Who was, I was thinking of this fellow who's the dean of the law school of Texas, right? We consider it Supreme Court.
But he's a hell of a good man. I've been a trial lawyer. He's a hell of a good man. He's a hell of a good man.
I just kind of have respect for the question. Whether a guy would take off.
Well, he could do that. I'm sure he could take off. I'm sure he would take off. And come to it. And you may never use it.
Just a good habit.
And just a good insurance recovery. And you go back, Mr. President, to the McCarthy hearings.
Yes.
Do you remember those?
Do I?
You remember Welch? You remember this?
Welch.
Remember all these witnesses? It was an hour by hour, day by day thing, and you don't know what you're going to get. Sure, and they just come try to, and you just need some outside lawyer that's following this thing all the time, who has some independent judgment that you can call on to represent if you want to represent some of the secretary.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody else.
So in the case of Holderman, John, you wouldn't listen to those like the White House and the rest that Holderman must go to
hell
because, by golly,
he is tied to this thing and he'd have to know it because of his position and so forth and so on.
No, wouldn't do that, no. Now, here's the argument for it. They say this is the way the president can divorce himself from this whole goddamn thing. And That's true. You have to realize the moment, this is the argument, the moment all of it's out here. I don't buy it myself, so I just, but I play it as best I can. I'm not going to do that one because I don't play it myself. But it's a all of this, so like, I mean, after all, he's out. Leave or what have you, until he's there. He says, that takes a lot of steam out of their hearing. That's true. The other side of that coin, of course, is that the one that you mentioned. Can the president back away from an innocent man and just get the shit kicked out because he's doing his job?
Well, I've got another. Number one, Harlow is not the way to run. You are.
That's true.
They're not after Harlow. They're after you. Now, they're after you. You threw him. Now, you leave. All I'm going to say is this proves that all is guilty and you knew it, and you sacrificed him. And you just threw him to the wolves to protect yourself.
But you have to fight it. That's a good argument.
Now, as I say, the man's guilty, then you, that's another matter. So I'm convinced he did.
That's a good song.
And so,
I think all of them do many things, not a good liar.
And so you write it out. Well, you've watched him over 60. You've watched him now since last year, almost a year, as you say. You know what his reactions are. You know, like the back of your head. And so, of course, you know, at some point, he'd give it away. You'd have some lingering doubt, you know, about what I like.
Yeah, because I try to bring it around, you know, without his knowing it. You know, trapped in an eye.
You've got those parts that you know you've got, the instinct about human nature, which would detect that.
Yes.
So you know in his business, we better have that. You know in your own mind.
Let me say one other thing before I have to run for this session. I'm sorry. You didn't get to meet him yet. He told me you were going.
No, I didn't know.
I have to go.
Yeah.
I thought I was going.
Because he got his schedule in.
You know, I know that with the current state of things, this problem, you know, on politics and switching and so on and so on is opportunity to do anything. What I hope though in your case that you would very very often consider is that it's very important, John, and his view of the standpoint of the country if you not encourage and discourage any of your friends. As a matter of fact, that you would encourage him. And as far as your move is concerned, a move should be made in the eye of the hurricane, you know, the president. Basically, this hurricane is more a political hurricane, it's a national hurricane. But you know that, nevertheless, that's what the situation is. But I've thought a lot about this whole political thing since we talked last quite candidly. The Democratic nominee is going to be taken in the country. There is no way that it's from the country. And Straw's main thing that he can put it together a different way, but he's got to know in his own heart that it's going to be. You got any doubts on that?
No.
I didn't. It's going to be Kenny.
Yeah.
So you do. As against Kennedy, I would support, and I believe you would, I would support any of the ones that I have mentioned. I support Rockefeller on the Reagan and Trump. On the other hand, let's face it, John, Rockefeller and Reagan are too bold and too old. And we would have a hell of a time winning very hard. And he also said with great respect to the president, he'd have a hell of a time beating his office because it's, you know, a fellow has either got some that sort of extra drive or you have to, I mean, you cannot glide through this office.
Not sure,
right? Right, sure. Each of us does it in a different way. I was pretty goddamn hard. I don't lie.
No, you sure don't.
Yeah, you don't lie. Now, it just happens to be that what they used to say on that, the fickle finger of fate. Here you are, living well, doing well, enjoying life, all the rest. But you're the only one that can beat Kennedy. And frankly, you're the only one that can be in the stand office. I just want you to know that's my conclusion. I don't ever want to press you on what John has done about switching anything, but I want you to know that that's my conclusion.
and it's just no point in getting in and getting involved in it.
Because right now, time is right there.
And that's right, say what you know about it.
That's right.
Yeah. So, and everybody.
Although here's the thing, God never has responded after that day.
That's right.
God.
But anyway, I'm prepared to do that. Now, what I'm doing, and I said this in Shreveport the other night, they asked me, so I said, well, I said, what difference does it make what I do? Nobody cares. And so, no consequence. Let me tell you the basis. I said, and this was between 1,500 people at lunch. I said, just let me tell you what my thought process was. I said, no secret about it. I said, first question I have to work on, I can buy that. The philosophy of policy of the Democratic National Plan, I think I've made that decision. Now, the next question is whether or not I just retire from politics, or if I'm going to remain, I have no choice but to go with the Republican Party. And that's where I've been answering. But I said, whatever I do, I'm deciding on the basis of what I believe is the best interest of the country. And I said, now, when that decision is made, it's going to be made on that basis, not in terms of any personal political ambition. So I'm just saying this over and over and over. But when this thing lets up, I'm going to try to achieve the most advantageous time I can, where we get the most mileage out of making the change.
One thing we have to feel, I guess, John, is that the figure that lit up soon.
No,
but it may, it'll have peaks and valleys, however.
Well,
as soon as we get it,
as soon as we get you away from it,
haul it away from it,
they can say, well, yeah, I think after that, the others have to go for a year.
Or they'll go in then to how we finance the campaign.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to worry about
the energy drinks that were and all that sort of thing. I think the country will get a little tired of that crap.
The press of the year won't.
No, the press here is after our fiction.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
That's true. That's good. Pollard Simon is going to Jamaica this weekend. I can't go. But I'll get him to pick PD up.
No, he can't go. We're going to go to